Speaking on this program is Brother Skip Andrews.
I want to thank you for tuning in today and hope you'll listen to this program every time it comes on. And as we study today, we're going to be asking a question, how can I receive faith? And we'll be looking at a number of references in scriptures to help us answer that question according to the way the Bible answers it. While we're thinking about that, let me encourage you to go to our websites. We have one, tftw.org, and at that website for Truth for the World, we have many study helps, questions and answers on hundreds of Bible questions, and helpful links to other study places around the world where you can learn more and more about the Word of God. Another interesting website that you might want to look at is howtobesaved.com. That's H-O-W, the number 2, B, and then the word saved, S-A-V-E-D.com. It's a brief website that actually has a lot to do with the lesson we'll be studying today and the next few lessons. You can enroll on our BCC online, the tftw.org website, or you can write to us and get the hard copy of it. The address for mailing is Truth for the World, P.O. Box 5048. That's P.O. Box 5048, Duluth, D-U-L-U-T-H, Georgia, and the zip is 30096. That address will be given again at the end of the program. But now let's go to the scriptures and learn the answer to the question, how can I receive faith? Our first reference today will be in John 14, so you might want to turn in your Bible to that reference, and we'll be reading a couple verses in a moment. What we're actually looking at is what I believe is appropriately called the gospel plan of salvation. The answer to the question, how can I receive faith, is to listen. Faith comes by listening, comes by hearing, the scripture says in Romans 10. Listening is one of the most often overlooked ideas in all of the scriptures, and yet hundreds of times we are taught that we need to listen, hear. In Deuteronomy 6, Moses says, hear, O Israel. And he said that all through the book of Deuteronomy, because what good would it do for him to say any of the things he had to say if nobody was listening? So faith comes by listening. We need to learn how to do that, learn how to do it well. We also need to learn to reject error about how faith comes, and we'll be addressing that as well. But our purpose in this and all lessons is, what does the Bible teach about it? In John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. In verse 21, he said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. In this text, Jesus regularly spoke of this concept, and I've only read two of the verses, that it is impossible to please God unless we keep his commandments. One of his commandments is to listen, to hear. As we said a little while ago, the Bible says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. In that passage, which takes nearly the entire chapter, Paul discusses the concept of hearing and how we get that message to the ears of people. It is by presenting the gospel in every right circumstance we can find, such as a radio program today. I hope you will listen. I hope you'll listen honestly and carefully to this first study in the gospel plan of salvation. A few things that will help us answer the question, how can I receive faith? One is, I need to know what faith is, because it could be that once I find out what faith is, I'll decide I don't need any of that. And yet the Bible speaks of faith often enough to help us find out what it is and realize that we actually do need it. In Hebrews 11, the scripture begins by saying, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This description of faith in Hebrews 11:1 is one of the most commonly known verses about faith in all the Bible, and it is important as it does help us understand what faith is and how faith works, because If we read the rest of this chapter, we'll see many examples of faith in the lives, in the works, the deeds, the legacy of people whose names and stories are given in Hebrews 11, as we are told the power of their faith, their believing in God and His Word, and as a result of listening to what He said, they were able to know what He wanted, and then they were able to do what He wanted, and thus they were pleasing to Him. He was willing to accept their lives. This is how faith comes. It comes by listening to what God said, and those people in Hebrews 11 are great examples of that. So don't forget, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is truly a basis, a starting point. And if we then decide faith is something we need, then we're going to realize getting it comes by listening, which takes us to our next point. I need to hear the Word of God. Listening to just anything is not going to give you the faith God wants you to have. You may learn to believe in lots of things, even things that are wrong, by listening to the wrong information. But in Romans 10, the verse we already read, Paul reminds us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God, under consideration in that text, is the Scripture, the Bible, what we have before us right now as we look into Genesis to Revelation to study the subject of how to listen. It comes by listening to what God has said about a given thing. That's why in Hebrews 11, all the people who did what they did by faith were also people who heard what God said, because they couldn't do anything by faith unless they knew what God said about it. A way to illustrate this, and of course one brief lesson can't do it, but I can point you to it, so you can do it for yourself, and that is in the book of Acts. All of the conversion accounts in the book of Acts show that the beginning point was being a good listener, hearing the Word of God. Not one of those people was converted to Christ without having begun the process by listening to what God said about the particular point at hand. In John 20, 30 and 31, one of the most powerful passages in all the Scriptures on this theme. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. So when I talk about listening, I'm not just talking about listening to an audible lesson like this one. Reading the Word of God for yourself is listening. It's hearing what God says about a theme. And John says at the end of his book, I wrote the book you just read so that you could believe. Well, that faith that he wants them to have is based in listening, reading, paying attention to the things he said about the theme. The theme is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's why this book was written. That is the gospel according to John. I need to know what faith is. I need to listen to the Word of God. But you know, we also need to pay a little bit of attention to how faith does not come. Some have taken Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 and used it as a text to claim that faith is a gift of God. It's just something God, you know, gives in a miraculous, mysterious way because you want it or he thinks you need it, whether you want it or not. Well, we do need faith. And there may be a sense in which faith is a gift from God because all good things are from God. But faith is not a gift that God gives without any effort on our part. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians 2, the gift of which Paul speaks is salvation. And if you read carefully, you'll see that. Faith doesn't come as some sort of a miraculous gift from God. Faith doesn't come through my parents' religion, that is, as an ultimate source. If my parents' religion is acceptable to God, it isn't just because they did it, it's because it's based in the Scriptures. Faith doesn't come through feelings. We need to have feelings. But just feeling something doesn't make it right and doesn't mean that we could correctly build our lives upon it. Jacob believed for 22 years that his son Joseph was dead. His feelings were strong. They were genuine. They were as real as feelings ever were. But they were false because his faith was false. His information was wrong and he believed it. So faith doesn't come through those kinds of sources. But there's another thing that I think we can do to point ourselves to the very thing that will help us get the point here. How do I know that I have believed the right thing? I mean, we all believe many things. How can we know that we have believed the right thing? I would turn you to answer this question to two references in the parable of the sower. In Mark 4:24, after the sower's parable has been given, Jesus said, "Take heed what you hear." The content of what I'm hearing is important. I need to pay attention to what I'm hearing. Am I listening to things that actually are based upon the Bible, or are they from the creeds and doctrines and feelings and you name it, of people? Jesus said, "Take heed what you hear." I can be a great listener, but hearing the wrong thing. And in Luke 8:18, the same parable is being taught, but Jesus says here, "Take heed how you hear," having to do with my heart, my attitude. Now, how can I know that I believe the right thing? By paying attention to what I hear and how I do that. Do I have the right attitude about it? And is what I'm hearing the actual Word of God? This places great responsibility upon me as a hearer, but that's the whole point. Hear, O Israel. In Acts 2, Peter said, "Men of Israel, hear these words." Acts 2:22. I encourage you to listen carefully to the Word of God, to pay attention to it, to examine what's being said, to make sure it is the Word of God, and then as a result of listening to those things that are true, keep on going, keep on listening, take the right steps, salvation will be yours. Now, we're going to look at a question about repentance. What is repentance? If you'd like to turn in your Bible to the first reference we'll be using, it's in Luke 24:45-47. True repentance. What is it all about? We're going to sum it up by saying it means change your mind, and a little bit more than that, but that's a brief way of saying it. And as we study for a little while today, we will be looking at this big word repent, or repentance, or penitent, an attempt to find out what God wants us to know about it. In Luke 24:45-47, just before Jesus was going to go back to heaven, he gave what is often called correctly, the Great Commission. The wording, because the occasion is different, is a little different from the one in Matthew, Mark, and John, and all of them together compose a great thought about what Jesus was doing right before he went to heaven in providing everything they needed to take the gospel to the whole world. And here's what Luke says about it. "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.'" Repentance was such an important thing that when Jesus spelled out what had to be done to reach the world lost in sin, repentance was one of those necessary elements of their message. So, we need to know what it's about, so that we can fulfill our obligation toward God with respect to this word, and we can help others to do the same, just as they were supposed to do. Some have referred to repentance as the hardest command in the Bible. It definitely is not an easy thing, because it strikes us at the point of our rebellion against God, that we choose to do wrong, we sin against Him in some way, and then the Scripture says, you have to change your mind about that. You have to stop doing that. You have to renounce it as evil and yourself as lost because you did it. That's a pretty hard thing to accept sometimes. But that is still necessary. The fact that it's not an easy thing to do or to find out about ourselves doesn't mean that it isn't necessary. And so, yes, it is a hard commandment. But in some ways, all commandments can be hard, especially if we're resisting it. So let us choose to let the Scriptures make our rebellion against God decrease and decrease until it just goes away. And the way to do that is to choose to be honest before God as we study any subject, and surely repentance is one of those areas that test us greatly. Let's look at a few things that will help us understand what repentance is. What is it? It's a change of mind that leads to a turning. In Exodus 13, we have a great statement that talks about not so much repenting from sin, but illustrates the action of repentance in great language. Exodus 13, 17. Then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. The King James Version has the word repent there for change their minds, because that's what it means. It's a change of mind that leads to turning. And the beautiful illustration of the tragic possibility there is that God knew if they saw a certain thing, they might change their mind and return to Egypt. So it is a change of mind from the old way. Job said, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes, Job 42:6. It's a change of mind from the old and a turning to the new. In Acts 3:19, Peter commanded an audience to repent and turn so that they might receive refreshing from the Lord, Acts 3:19. What is repentance? A change of mind that leads to turning. But what does that? What causes that? What leads to such a radical change of thinking about the way of sin and a desire to be in the way of righteousness? It's the truth of God in an honest heart. In the preaching of John the Immerser in Matthew 3 and Luke 4, he preached hard about the concept of repentance, encouraging, commanding, inviting people to evaluate themselves, to look at the way they had lived, the way they had treated people, the way they were treating God, and to renounce that, and to prove that the change had taken place because they were turning to a new way of living, a new way of acting, a new way of thinking. In Matthew 21, verses 28 and 29, Jesus said, "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he regretted it and went." You see, he changed his mind, and he turned to a way that would please his father. When we talk about repenting, that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about something that evidences our sincerity of change. In Acts 16, the Philippian jailer was preached to by Paul and Silas, and as he heard the truth of God, he later washed their stripes and then was baptized the same hour of the night. The washing of their stripes, the beating they had taken for no other reason than they were Christians serving God, and his understanding of what all of that was about once he heard the gospel led to repentance, and that was evidenced in what he did when he washed their stripes. Repentance shows something about our heart and how it's changed, and how we not only are grieving over the sin we've committed, but that we are going to be different. We're going to change our ways and do everything we can to live from now on in such a way that we're pleasing to God. That, I hope, says something to you about what repentance is. But also, who should repent is a good question. In Acts 17:30, the Bible says, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." Everyone needs to repent, even those who haven't heard yet. need to repent. They need to hear and believe and then repent. But the fact that they haven't heard doesn't mean that they don't need to repent, because he just said all men everywhere are being commanded to repent. So the whole world needs to know that if we have sinned, and we have all sinned, and come short of the glory of God, then there's a need to repent, to hear words by which we can reach salvation, Acts 11:14, which includes repentance unto life, Acts 11:15-18. Now, at what point does a person need to repent? Sometimes you hear language that attempts to describe that point in life. I use the language stage of accountability. There is no year or birthday where all of a sudden you're accountable as far as the scriptures are concerned, but there is a point in time, which may be a different age for you than for me, where we reach a stage where we are accountable before God, and if we don't repent, we'll perish, according to Luke 13:3. Examine your own heart. Examine your own situation. Realize that if you've reached the point where you know you are accountable before God, then you are also accountable to repent of your sins. In Acts 2, verse 37, an audience of Israelites cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent. Repent." All of them needed to do that, because all men everywhere have been commanded to repent. But why should we repent? Quickly, I need to give some answers to that. One, because it's commanded, Acts 17:30. Number two, because it's a condition of salvation. In Mark 6:12, we read that people went out and told people that they should repent. It's a condition. That's why they were telling them to repent, because they should do it. It's required. It's an end of our rebellion. Read the great parables of Luke 15 and understand how rebellion against God is part of this repenting, changing our mind and the direction of our lives. It's a step to prepare you for the judgment day. God wants all men to repent. He desires that. He's long-suffering to that end so that we can prepare for judgment. 2 Peter 3, 9-14. And repentance is one of those things that we must do that assists in removing the burden of our sins. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. So we encourage you, change your mind and change your ways. Thank you for listening.